If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Faisal, there's a lot of work being done around dementia and cognitive abilities, and we've got a terrific guest with us today, yeah. Dr. Howard Chertko. He's a cognitive neurologist. He's also the new chair in cognitive neurology and innovation at the Baycrest Center in Toronto, and the Baycrest Center is doing some really interesting stuff, so I'm glad that we've got Dr. Chertko here to talk to us. Dr. Chertko, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Delighted to be here.
So this is an area of importance to many, many people because, there's so many people and families touched by dementia and Alzheimer's. I'd like you to maybe start by telling us a little bit about the new program at Baycrest Center and what you're doing and what you're finding.
Well, people are very concerned, as you say, in their 40s or 50s, particularly if they have a family history of someone getting Alzheimer's or dementia. People want to know what they can do, if anything, to prevent it. So we're opening a Kimmel Center, which is a center that will offer programs such as exercise for older people, meditation, cognitive stimulation, dietary advice. But we're doing this not only to offer programs, but we're combining it with a research program to look into which combination of activities can actually help prevent dementia. We're going to tie this in with a national effort called the Canadian Consortium on Neurodegeneration and Aging, which involves centers across Canada, including at Foothills in Calgary, where we're hoping to develop prevention programs and actually do the research necessary to determine what is the best combination that people around the world can do to prevent dementia.
I like the sound of that. There's a lot of research being done in this area. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about how the Baycrest Center is different from other programs and, some of the different things that you're doing.
Well, I'll tell you what we know and what we hope to learn.
Okay.
We know that, and this is for your listeners, that the most important things people can do to prevent dementia are take care of your heart. If you have high blood pressure, look after it, diabetes, do get exercise and prevent alcohol, sleeping pills, head injury, things that are bad for your brain. So anything that's good for your heart is good for your brain. We're already advising people to do that and advising them to have a diet which is low in red meat and sort of a Mediterranean diet. But beyond that, there's a possibility that very intense exercise might actually be better than regular exercise, and that dietary supplements of different sorts might be helpful. Electrical stimulation of the brain, cognitive training where you actually try and train your memory on the computer, and other more intensive interventions may be additionally helpful. And point is, it's maybe, we don't know for sure. So rather than just saying we're going to offer these to people and maybe they help, maybe they don't, we're going to track what people do and which programs they get involved in and give people the option of getting involved in certain things like medications as well if we think they're at high risk. So it's a combination of offering what we know is helpful, exercise, diet, mental activities, and programs which may be additionally helpful in combination.
This might be an unfair question, but I'm going to ask it, and you can certainly answer that. We don't know, but in my family's particular case, my mother has Alzheimer's, and my brother and I did some genetic testing, and what we found is my brother had a gene variant for Alzheimer's. I don't know what exactly that means, but I don't have that gene variant. I'm interested to know if you have an opinion or you can share any evidence to suggest that how important lifestyle choices versus genetics are in this area.
But yeah, this is a really important question, and this is a good example. We know statistically if you have a close family member with Alzheimer's, it doubles your risk of getting it. But that means going from 8% of the older population up to 16%. So still the odds are that you're not going to get it. There are a few genes which bring on Alzheimer's disease when you're young, but when people talk about Alzheimer's genes, usually they're talking about ApoE, which is a risk gene. It doesn't mean you're going to get it, it just increases your risk, along with many other things in your life that may increase your risk. For example, I don't know if you're a boxer, but if you're getting repeated head injuries, that's increasing your risk. If you have high blood pressure, that's increasing your risk. And if you're obese, I'm not looking at you right now, it's the radio, but if you're obese, we know that increases your risk. And other things which are surprisingly, if you're a man who's unmarried in middle-aged life, that increases your risk of getting dementia. On the other hand, there are many things that you probably do which are protective. For example, education is protective, intellectual stimulation, having a lot of friends is protective. So for every one of us, there's a combination of risk factors and protective factors which are playing out. We think that the genetics maybe accounts for half of the risk of Alzheimer's, but your lifestyle and things that you do account for the other half. So it's like an equation with many variables, and for any individual person, it's a balance of what they're doing bad and what can be improved in their lifestyle.
So, Dr. Chertko, I deal with Faisal every day. Some might call that academically interesting. I just call it frustrating. What does that do for my chance now that you know that there's some history in my family?
You're in trouble.
Well, you know, I'd have to take a detailed history to know what you're doing right and what is wrong. You know,
everything's wrong when it comes to Dave. Everything's wrong.
Yeah. Well, stress, we consider stress to be, too much stress to be bad for your brain. And on the other hand, everybody lives with some degree of stress. So what's stressful for you might not be stressful for Dave. You know, sleep. We know people who aren't getting enough sleep, that increases your risk of getting Alzheimer's. And we're looking into treatments that we're going to do with people coming into the Kimmel Center, where we try to improve their sleep through different methods to see if that actually decreases their risk of getting cognitive decline and Alzheimer's in the future. So right now there are about 15 or 20 things where, through animal work or evidence or population studies, 15 or 20 things that might be helpful. You know, the top nine things may be the most important. You know, treating depression, blood pressure, getting more sleep, hearing loss. If people have hearing loss, it can be corrected, that it reduces your chances of getting Alzheimer's disease. So our task at the Kimmel Center and as researchers across the country and around the world is try and work out now what is the combination of things that really makes a difference for people, whether they have medium risk of dementia in their family or particularly if they have high risk for various factors. So this is our challenge as researchers in the coming years. The good thing is that, you know, they passed a National Dementia Strategy Bill in Parliament last year, and we're hoping that there's going to be an infusion of funds for dementia research across the country in the coming year or two. So this is now a political item. Anyone who's talking to their MPs should be demanding that they fund more research into Alzheimer's disease, not just at the Kimmel Center at Baycrest, but at all the other centers across the country that are trying to develop these treatments.
Mm-hmm. We've got time for one more question, and I apologize to all our listeners because I'm monopolizing this. It's becoming a self-diagnosis here, but I suffer from sleep apnea as well. So when you said sleep, I was very interested in that. I mean, sleep apnea affects me in a whole bunch of different ways, but I generally am not a good sleeper. So I'm curious as to the, you know, in a minute or less, the linkage. What should I be cognizant of and doing to improve my sleep experience to hopefully avoid, you know, the side effects of that?
Well, sleep is sort of the new frontier for dementia research. We know that when you're sleeping, your brain is clearing out the amyloid, which is maybe a critical factor in Alzheimer's disease. So people with sleep apnea should be tested, and if they need a CPAP machine, they should try and get it. And improving your sleep is probably, aside from decreasing the stress in your life, improving your sleep is probably the number one thing you can do to prevent getting dementia and Alzheimer's in the future. So, you know, sleep apnea causes memory problems, and some people come into memory clinics think they're getting Alzheimer's. They're actually just having sleep apnea. So sleep apnea is reversible, is treatable, and you should try and take care of it.
Well, I can tell you I'm 100% compliant. So anybody that's got it that doesn't treat it is crazy, in my opinion, because it's so different getting proper sleep. We're going to have to leave it there, though, but I want to thank you very much, Dr. Chertko, for taking some time to join us today.
Delighted to be here. Have a great day.
We've been joined by Dr. Howard Chertko. He's a cognitive neurologist, also the new chair in cognitive neurology and innovation at the Baycrest Center in Toronto. My friend, we're going to talk about the experience of retirement, and a good chunk of that can be health-related, isn't it?
Yeah, more and more people are concerned about paying for healthcare down the road.
Yeah.
While at the beginning enjoying their lifestyle, but understand that health is a concern. Now, here's something interesting, Dave. On Tuesday, October 23rd, 7 p.m. at the Oak Ridge Co-op Wine, Spirits, and Beer. We have our seminar every month like we do with Co-op. However, our 7 p.m. session is full.
Right.
So we opened up a second session at 8:30, and that's filling up fast. So if you would like to have a seat at our presentation, come to our 8:30 session. You can sign up by going to our online registration at morethanmoneyradio.com, or you can call in at 403-966-8400. That's 403-966-8400.
Okay, let me remind you that as we wrap up this show, any of our segments today or past segments, you can access on morethanmoneyradio.com, or you can have them directly delivered to you by searching for More Than Money CHQR on iTunes or in your favorite podcast app. Thanks for tuning into another edition of More Than Money on 770 CHQR.
David Popowicz and Faisal Karmeli are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowicz and Faisal Karmeli do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets, Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets, Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.